Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera. Anda bersama saya Nina Rozman dan rakan setugas saya Nabila Halida dalam Niaga Awal ni jam ini.
Dan kita akan berikan laporan berita tempatan dan juga antarabangsa mengenai bisnes, kewangan dan ekonomi. Dan kita juga akan menjemput beberapa panel jemputan untuk mengenai perbincangan beberapa topik penting yang akan kita bawakan sebentar lagi.
Keputusan untuk memberikan moratorium atau sebaliknya kepada perusahaan kecil dan sederhana PKS bergantung kepada pertimbangan pihak bank sama ada PKS mampu membuat bayaran balik, kata Menteri Kewangan Tengku Datuk Seri Zafrul Abdul Aziz. Bagaimanapun, beliau berharap pihak bank dan Bank Negara Malaysia akan terus menyokong PKS serta perusahaan mikro, kecil dan sederhana PMKS yang berdepan kesukaran.
Beliau berkata sokongan pinjaman pihak bank kepada pemilik PKS adalah wajar diteruskan berikutan sektor itu menyumbang kepada ekonomi negara.
So what's important, there are two things. One is banks. I hope we hope that, you know, together with central bank, we will continue to support genuine SMEs that are in difficulty, and I think it's being done. Secondly is to ensure that SME continue to grow in this space, to contribute to the economy. And it has, and we've seen our economy growing. And we also make sure that to support their growth, loans must be continued to support this growth.
Dalam pada itu, beliau juga menegaskan ekonomi Malaysia berkembang kukuh setakat ini, antaranya berikutan peningkatan penggunaan domestik, sektor ekspor yang lebih kukuh dan pertumbuhan pinjaman yang lebih baik. Justru, langkah-langkah yang diambil semasa krisis ekonomi akibat pandemik mungkin bukan penyelesaian terbaik pada masa ini.
Dalam hari itu, Tengku Zafrul berkata kadar dasar semalaman OPR masih rendah berbanding sebelum pandemik COVID-19 melanda pada 2020. Beliau juga menyifatkan nilai OPR negara masih kekal akomodatif meskipun berlaku peningkatan, namun masih berada pada tahap rendah berbanding sebelum pandemik.
Kadar OPR walaupun telah naik sebanyak 25 mata asas tetapi masih lagi berada di tahap yang rendah berbanding dengan sebelum pandemik COVID-19. OPR sekarang pada tahap 2.5% berbanding dengan tahap yang sebelum ini lebih dari 3% pada sebelum pandemik COVID-19.
Asas-asas ekonomi negara harus terus kukuh dalam menentukan kekuatan mata wang negara. Menurut Menteri Kewangan Tengku Datuk Seri Zafrul Tengku Abdul Aziz, dakwaan yang mengatakan negara berdepan krisis ekonomi susulan nilai ringgit Malaysia merendah berbanding dolar Amerika Syarikat adalah tidak benar. Ini kerana prestasi ringgit harus dilihat secara menyeluruh, bukan dibandingkan pada satu mata wang negara luar sahaja.
Sebenarnya, apa yang kita perlu pastikan adalah asas-asas ekonomi kita mesti terus kukuh. Ini yang lebih penting untuk tentukan kekuatan mata wang kita. So, soalan seterusnya, asas-asas ekonomi kita kukuh ke? Kalau betul, apa buktinya? Ini buktinya. Pertama, kita dah rekodkan 3 quarters of GDP growth. 3 quarters berturut-turut. Suku keempat 2021, KDNK bertumbuh 3.6%. Suku pertama 2022, KDNK tumbuh 5%. Dan suku kedua tumbuh 8.9%. Ini buktinya bahawa asas ekonomi negara kekal di landasan yang kukuh.
Jelasnya, nilai ringgit telah menurun sebanyak 7.5% berbanding dolar Amerika Syarikat sejak awal tahun 2022. Tetapi mata wang serantau dan negara maju juga menurun berbanding dolar Amerika. Memberi contoh, katanya yen Jepun menurun 19.2%, kadar terendah sejak 24 tahun yang lepas. Pound Sterling United Kingdom menurun 14.4%, terendah sejak 37 tahun lalu. Manakala Euro turun 11.7% semenjak 20 tahun lalu. Mata wang mereka turun-turun malah lebih rendah daripada ringgit, tetapi tidak bermakna mereka menghadapi krisis ekonomi memandangkan negara mereka mencatat pertumbuhan dalam pelbagai sektor.
Kadar pengangguran yang terus menurun kepada 3.7% pada bulan Julai 2022, paras terendah semenjak COVID-19 melanda negara. Kalau kita hadapi krisis ekonomi, takkanlah kadar pengangguran kita turun selama 12 bulan berturut-turut. Ketiga, indeks pengeluaran perindustrian ataupun IPP meningkat sebanyak 12.5% pada Julai 2022 berbanding tahun sebelumnya. Jualan bagi sektor pembuatan juga naik 23.8% kepada hampir RM150 bilion. Keempat, DOSEM juga baru umumkan nilai jualan perdagangan borong dan runcit meningkat 41% kepada RM130.7 bilion pada bulan Julai 2022.
Pertumbuhan ini disumbangkan oleh jualan kenderaan bermotor 600%, perdagangan runcit 37.5%, perdagangan borong 20.6%. Beliau berkata demikian dalam perkongsian video di media sosialnya pada Selasa.
Pelancaran inisiatif Digital Nomad di Rantau semalam bakal membuka lembaran baharu dalam sektor pelancongan negara. Mana tidaknya, keterujaan itu bukan hanya dalam kalangan peserta nomad digital, tetapi juga mereka yang bergelar penggiat industri tempatan. Ikuti laporan Harits Ashraf Hasnan, sempena Kongres Teknologi dan Inovasi Dunia WCIT 2022.
Bella, di Astro Awani, terutama dalam Niaga Awani, kita telah membawakan lama sebenarnya perbincangan berkenaan dengan nomad digital ataupun digital nomad ini. Pelbagai inisiatif telah pun digerakkan. Kalau mungkin anda masih ingat, dalam beberapa siri temubual sebelum ini, terutamanya di Langkawi, kalau kita lihat sewaktu PKP, terutamanya kita mula lihat pergerakan dan juga orang mula melancong, bekerja dari rumah dan sebagainya. Bagaimana ini dapat menarik minat? Dan secara rasminya, di Rantau telah pun dilancarkan, MDEC berperanan penting, dan tetapi antara mereka yang penting juga adalah berkenaan dengan siapa yang akan menggerakkannya di peringkat lapangan. Bagaimana ianya akan dilihat sebagai satu konsep yang mampu untuk menggalakkan bukan sahaja sektor pelancongan, tetapi pada masa sama memberi ruang dan juga ekonomi kepada negara. Dan sudah tentu orang yang paling penting pada ketika ini untuk saya temubual, Encik Iskandar Maksah, yang merupakan pengasas Jetpack Langkawi. Yes. Beberapa kali sebelum ni kita secara virtual saja. Terima kasih.
Thank you.
Di WCIT 2022 di Bayan Bayan Baru, Pulau Pinang ini. Bagaimana kita nak melihat ataupun memahami berkenaan dengan di Rantau ini? Ianya dilancarkan semalam oleh Menteri.
Yep.
Dan sejauh mana ianya dilihat akan memacu bukan saja sektor pelancongan, tetapi terutamanya ekonomi-ekonomi Iskandar selaku pemain industri di peringkat tempatan ini, bagaimana?
Yep. First and foremost again, Ashraf, thank you for this opportunity. And then untuk penggerak digital nomad di Langkawi, kita amat berterima kasihlah kepada MDEC, KECOM dan juga Jabatan Immigration, which is under KDN, and also Lembaga Hasil Dalam Negeri, yang bertunggulumuslah untuk menjadikan digital nomad visa ni. Jadi untuk dia punya kelebihan kepada kelebihan kepada pemain-pemain yang bawah ni, antara penyedia accommodation, co-working space macam kami, dan juga activities-activities, ni bagaikan yuran runtuh lah.
Betul, faham.
Yang mana adanya inisiatif digital economy di Rantau ini akan menarik minat.
Okay.
Bukan hanya daripada serantau, malah daripada satu dunia. Kita ada di satu coin of word yang kita panggil. Kita ni sebagai David Langkawi versus the Goliath of Bali dan Chiang Mai. And we have always said from the very beginning, daripada dulu, kita always ready, Ashraf. Always ready to welcome. The infrastructure is ready. Everything is ready.
Okay.
And then
bila you cakap, sorry, bila you sebut berkenaan dengan infrastructure, Menteri Tan Sri Anwar Musa ada menyebut berkenaan dengan isu infrastructure, kemudahan dan sebagainya. Mengambil contoh beliau ke Sipadan dan juga ke Sabah, ada kawasan-kawasan yang mempunyai tarikan pelancong yang menarik, tetapi tak ada infrastruktur. Tetapi Langkawi berbeza di sini. 5G telah pun dilancarkan di Langkawi. Bagaimana dari segi penambahbaikan yang boleh dilakukan? Apakah bentuk infrastruktur lain lagi yang boleh memenuhi, bukan setakat memenuhi tetapi menarik minat golongan nomad digital ini untuk datang ke Langkawi?
Kemudahan yang diberikan untuk di rantau di rantau ni adalah nomad visa yang akan menggunakan dia untuk stay dan bekerja daripada di Langkawi dan juga lokasi-lokasi lain selama setahun. That means dia boleh datang as and when dia sukalah, macam tu. So bila cakap pasal infrastructure ready ni, kalau di Langkawi, granted, tidak keseluruhannya covered by fiber internet. Tetapi banyak inisiatif yang dilakukan oleh pengusaha-pengusaha accommodation yang melalui penyediaan bantuan oleh kerajaan untuk upgrade kan tempat tinggal,
okay.
Dari segi kerusi, meja, speed internet, which is very important, right? Untuk diorang ni datang and terus bekerja. Pada bila-bila masa saja.
Betul.
Dalam masa setahun.
Ya, sebab kadangkala kalau kita bercakap berkenaan dengan nomad digital ini, mereka ini waktu bekerja mereka ini mungkin pada tengah malam, waktu tengah malam, waktu operasi pejabat mereka di luar negara beroperasi.
Right.
Bagaimana untuk memenuhi expectation itu? Kerana sudah tentu kalau saya meletakkan diri saya sebagai seorang nomad digital, pertama saya mungkin tak duduk di hotel-hotel mewah kerana saya akan duduk dalam tempoh jangka masa yang panjang. Mungkin saya lebih suka di peringkat homestay. Tetapi adakah homestay itu mempunyai internet yang baik? Adakah pada lewat malam saya boleh bekerja, ada ruang dan juga tempat yang sesuai untuk saya bekerja?
Right.
Bagaimana ekosistem itu dilaksanakan?
Penyedia-penyedia ekosistem di Langkawi, sebagai contoh Jetpack, we are always ready. Kita run actually 24 hours.
Okay.
Ashraf. The Kiwis and also the Aussies will come to work at pukul 5, okay. pukul 7 pagi.
Okay.
And then European will come to work at 2 petang.
Okay.
And then sampai the American, Canadian, Mexican, South American will come to work pada pukul 9 malam, pukul 10 malam.
Okay.
90% dari pekerja yang bekerja daripada malam ni,
okay,
sampai ke pagi, yang ambil maksudnya daylight season bergantung on that, habis kerja pukul 4-5 pagi, dia orang ni kunci jetpack,
okay,
balik jalan kaki. 90% are female.
Okay.
That shows that fairly safe in Langkawi. Okay. Walaupun untuk you balik daripada bekerja, jalan kaki,
okay,
but of course you exercise, you punya cautious lah, kenalah berhati-hati. And these are the Americans.
Yes.
The European, they're very straightforward in telling you.
Okay.
If I'm not happy, I'm not happy.
Okay.
But Langkawi has a lot to offer.
Okay.
We didn't know that there's a lot to offer, and we at Jetpack,
okay,
as a ecosystem player for our digital nomad,
okay,
always welcoming everyone,
okay,
to Langkawi.
Compliment each other sudah tentu. Banyak ruang dan juga peluang yang perlu diteroka. Banyak lagi cabaran-cabaran yang perlu diatasi, dan dalam proses apabila dirantau ini bermulanya secara rasminya semalam, sudah tentu kita ingin melihat bagaimana program ataupun projek berkenaan dengan dirantau ini dapat memberi impak kepada kehidupan rakyat, terutamanya bagaimana mereka yang merupakan bergelar penggiat-penggiat industri ini dapat kembali memacu ekonomi mereka. Dan sudah tentu banyak lagi laporan menarik akan saya bawakan dalam sempena dengan WCIT 2022 ini. Sekian laporan Haris Ashraf Hasnan untuk Niaga Awani.
Sementara itu, Perbadanan Ekonomi Digital Malaysia MDEC selaku agensi peneraju di rantau melihat inisiatif itu bukan sahaja menguntungkan golongan nomad digital. Sebaliknya, Pengurus Kanan Malaysia Digital Nomad MDEC Arifah Sharifuddin berpandangan komuniti pemain industri tempatan dan pelbagai pihak akan meraih keuntungan menerusi inisiatif itu.
Program Dirantau bukan saja tertumpu kepada nak membawa digital nomad itu datang ke Malaysia. Kita juga membuatkan sesuatu supaya industri-industri lokal macam sektor pelancongan, sektor pengangkutan, retail, F&B dan sebagainya, kita pun masukkan mereka ke dalam mengadaptasikan digital so that mereka boleh memberikan servis, memberikan perkhidmatan melalui digital. So contoh macam partner kita akan bawa macam Paynet, macam AirAsia, dia akan pergi kepada local businesses untuk tolong jadikan mereka cashless. So itu adalah contoh, salah satu daripada contoh. So we want to expand more of digital adoption while at the same time promoting mobility of the digital professionals here in Malaysia.
AME REIT is an Islamic Real Estate Investment Trust with the principal investment policy of investing directly and indirectly in a Sharia-compliant portfolio of income-producing real estate used primarily for industrial and industrial-related purposes in Malaysia and overseas. The objective of AME REIT is to provide unit holders with a stable and growing distribution of income and to achieve long-term growth in its net asset value. AME REIT will have a portfolio of industrial and industrial-related assets across Iskandar Malaysia. iREIT manages Ascendian Berhad is the management company. NRHB Trustees Berhad is the trustee of AME REIT. AME REIT has been listed on the main market of Bursa Malaysia on 20th September this year. To help us understand better, joining us this morning is Chan Wai Leo, the CEO of iREIT Managers Ascendian Berhad. Thank you, Leo, for joining us this morning. All right. So we would like to ask, how do you intend to differentiate AME REIT from the other 18 existing MREITs?
Morning, everyone. Thanks for inviting me. So there are 18 Malaysian REITs spread across the few asset classes. Some are single asset type focus and some are mixed bag. And if you narrow down the list of Malaysian REITs that has industrial properties, we probably have about 6 to 7 REITs, out of which 2 are really industrial focused. Now, AME REIT is a sponsor-driven REIT, and we will be the 3rd industrial focused REIT when we get listed on Bursa next week. We have about 34 assets, 31 of which are industrial properties, and 3 are dormitories. The main differentiation for AME REIT is that our sponsor, AME Elite, is an industrial developer that is listed on the main board and has multiple successful industrial parks across Iskandar region. So what that basically means is that AME REIT will potentially have a pipeline of quality properties to tap into for acquisitions. Okay, this is in addition to third-party acquisitions that the manager is mandated to do. So upon listing, AME REIT will also be the first Malaysian REIT that offers one-of-a-kind exposure to worker dormitories. This is an emerging asset class, and the demand for well-managed and well-equipped dorms are expected to increase with the enforcement of Act 446 following the pandemic. The 34 assets in the portfolio are all freehold properties and all less than 10 years old. A lot of the properties were designed with ESG consideration in mind, such as green building designs. AME REIT is a beneficiary of all the ESG efforts that was undertaken by the sponsor. So with the growing ESG consciousness, you can immediately cater for the demand on the onset rather than starting from scratch. So you take, for instance, the 3 worker dorms that we have. They're all located right next to the industrial park. So in addition to help our customers fulfill the E in the ESG, we can also help them to fulfill the S, the social element of ESG, by providing proper worker accommodation for their workers.
All right. By fulfilling the E, S and G, so does being sponsor-led somehow restrict your growth?
On the contrary, actually, we are sponsor-driven, but we are not restricted to just acquiring the sponsor's assets. As I mentioned, the manager has been mandated to buy third-party assets across the industrial states in Peninsula. So our focus is actually on the northern side, the central side, and not forgetting, of course, Johor, where our HQ is based. So the pipeline of assets from the sponsor will supplement the third-party assets that we actually will be acquiring. AME REIT has already built a reputable brand of a number of industrial parks in Johor. They are called iPark and Innapura. They're an iPark at SAC, and they've recently launched a new park in Southern Industrial Logistic Cluster in Johor called iTech Valley. So when AME Elite attracts more industrial players into their parks, we have a larger potential pipeline of assets to acquire that will potentially meet our criteria. So post-listing, the sponsor have also given us a first right of refusal for all future lease assets coming on stream. Yeah. So, and if you look at REITs, they typically don't do any land banking or buy any empty building in anticipation for the client's expansion. This exercise is dilutive because there's no income accruing to the fund at the point in time. So if a customer requires expansion, then the REIT will have to try to source for land to build a new facility. So the advantage of having a sponsor who is industrial developer is that there is readily available land bank should the REIT be unable to source outside. So the sponsor will then help to build a new facility and potentially later offer the new facility as pipeline acquisition to the REIT. So that way, as a group, we will ensure that we always retain our customers. We will not lose any customers just because we cannot, help them with their expansion. So currently, all the parks that the sponsor has are in Johor. They have intention to expand to the high growth areas in the central and the northern peninsula. So that will give us more geographical diversity. So all in all, we have a favorable model for stability and flexibility to grow, even though we are sponsor driven.
All right, Leo, maybe you can share what's the significance of being an Islamic REIT and why have you chosen to focus on industrial properties?
Okay. So I'll answer your first question. Being an Islamic REIT effectively extends our appeal to Sharia and non-Sharia investor. So what that essentially means is that we have a wider pool of investors to work with as compared to a conventional REIT. And this also augurs well with Malaysia being one of the most prominent global Islamic capital market hubs outside of the Middle East. On your second question, to start off, the initial portfolio of assets to be injected in the REIT is already industrial focused, and they're all coming from the sponsors. As I mentioned earlier, AME Elite is an integrated industrial space solution provider. So we have chosen to remain focused on industrial as that's essentially our core expertise, right? So in addition to that, the industrial assets have also to be proven very resilient, providing long-term returns, stable returns, right? Industrial properties are also a growing class of investment properties. As you can see, a lot of FDIs and DDIs that has been coming into Malaysia for the first half of 2022 has been very encouraging. I think almost about 123 billion worth of investments being recorded. Furthermore, the international trade war and the supply chain disruptions are expected to even spur more FDIs into the Southeast Asia region. And I think Malaysia will stand to be one of the beneficiaries. So as more industrial properties are built, we have a larger potential pipeline of assets to acquire.
Leo, AME REIT listed on the main market on 20 September 2022, as you mentioned just now. So how do you think it will fare and what's your expectation on your growth target?
Well, I hope it starts off with a bang on 20th September, but you know, it's really out of our hands. The strong response from our investors has given us some positive indications that the institutional offering was covered about 4.2 times book. The public offering was also about 3.5 times covered. You know, so what's important to note is that we're definitely here to stay for the long term and provide unit holders with stable and growing distributions, right? The current income distribution policy is every 3 months and the distribution will be credited directly into the unit holders' bank account. So we aim to distribute 100% of our distributable income accruing from the date of listing, which is 20th September to 31st of March, which is the end of our first financial year. After that, we'll distribute at least 90% of our distributable income. Now, we have an initial portfolio of 34 industrial properties valued at 557 million. No doubt, we like to grow the asset under management as fast as possible, but we take cognizance of the fact that we need to be buying the right assets. It's just not buying for the sake of bulking up the fund size. We just need to make sure that we are buying the right assets. In fact, we are just lining up, post-listing, we are lining up another 3 potential assets for acquisition.
That's good, great news to hear on the new initiative and the incoming initiative that will be done by AME REITs.
And congrats once again.
Congrats once again. And I want to say thank you very much to Chan Wai Leo, the CEO of iRate Managers of Sdn Bhd, for the delightful insight. Niaga Awani will be taking a short break and we'll be right back.